All right, welcome on in. Good Tuesday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for jumping on board. Peter King will be with us here in a couple of minutes. SI.com, senior NFL writer. The MMQB, none better than Peter King. A lot around the car. I can't get away from the Cardinals conversation with Peter. I've got the best in the business, and there's just too many angles. So we'll talk with Peter King. Calais Campbell will be with us, Cardinals Pro Bowl defensive end, good friend of the show. We started doing stuff with Calais, was it, Eric, 4 years ago, I think it was, when we first jumped in on this venture?
4 years ago. Four years.
Yeah, four long, tiring years ago. And
really? It's been that bad, huh?
No.
Long
well,
and tiring?
Depends on the day.
Wow.
Depends on the day. I mean, if we can get your camera to work, I'd be happy, but, you know, those things happen.
Technology. Yeah.
We'll get it figured out. There you are. So, yeah, 4 years ago. So we started doing something with Calais. What do we call it? Crunch Time with Calais?
I believe that was the name he came up with.
I think that was the name. And he was good. We would Skype with him and mm-hmm. do all sorts of stuff.
Came in studio a couple ago. Times. Yep.
Yeah. He'd come up in studio. And so it would be good to catch up with Calais. That'll be fun. I'm in a fairly good mood today because there's just a bunch of things to talk about, not only here in the Valley, but nationally as well. And there's a lot of football I'm going to get to, but Derrick Rose is just, he's all on my mind today for some things that he said around the Bulls. And I'm sure you'll see and hear about it later today. The Markieff Morris stuff yesterday kind of came and went. So there's some basketball stuff. The Diamondbacks, actually, I'm going to come up short. And thank you to those of you that spent time over the weekend on Twitter saying, you're an idiot for saying the Diamondbacks win 84 games. Thank you for writing me emails. Let me put in 1,000 words, Brad, how stupid you were to say that the Diamondbacks would win 84 games. I appreciate you taking a half hour out of your life. I hope you feel better in counseling. They're 75 and 81. So yeah, I'm going to come up a few games short. They have six games left. Robbie Ray is going to throw in two of those starts. Now I was hoping that, you know, if they win their final six and they finish at 500, regardless of how they finish out, it's a successful season. In my opinion, if you're one of those that says you're an idiot, it's fine. It's happened a lot. For saying they were going to win 84 games, it's fine. But if you look at the big picture and the body of work, I like their trajectory. If you look back on the Cardinals just a few years ago to those beloved Derek Anderson, Max Hall years, the end of the Ken Whisenhunt era and all that stuff. And now you see where things are and how it takes time to clean stuff out and turn things upside down and start over. I'm fine with that for a year or two, maybe even three, depending on the situation. That's why I'm more than crabby about where the Suns are. That's why I'm more than a little disappointed and frustrated where the Coyotes are in the marketplace. That's why I'm looking forward to Arizona State basketball, because I think Bobby Hurley is going to make a difference. If you don't believe the Diamondbacks have made progress, as some of you wanted to point out in your 1,000-word essay to me, and there are more than one of them, then you just don't like the team. It's fine. Save your time. Go on a date. Take the dog for a walk. Do anything but write me 1,000 words about how I'm wrong. Write it in two. You're wrong. It's fine. It's Brad at sports360az.com, by the way. Just knock yourselves out. I'm grumpy with Arizona State. If you were to look at the college football landscape right now in the Pac-12 conference, the best team in the Pac-12 conference right now is Utah. It is not UCLA. Utah has beaten Michigan. Utah has beaten Oregon. Okay? They have Cal next, which is a fascinating. Who would have thought Utah-Cal would be a fascinating college football game in a couple weeks? But you have the Heisman Trophy candidate. Fournette's going to win it. I'm a Heisman voter. I'm not supposed to talk about my vote. There's a kid down south who's a running back in the state of Louisiana who clearly is going to win the award this year unless he gets hurt. I'm not supposed to say his name, so I'm not going to. But if you look at Aaron Rodgers, I had somebody point out to me the other day, we travel to all the ASU road games. We've done that for 4 years now, three coming into our fourth season. And Jared Cohen will be with them at UCLA this weekend. They're probably going to go to the woodshed. I hope I'm wrong. I'd like to have U of A and, ASU get off the mat and get back into the grand scheme of things. But the Cal-ASU game at the end of the year could be a Heisman Trophy runner-up, and the game's in the Bay Area. Like, Eric, I'm not sure if I want you to go to Pullman now. You know?
Oh.
It's one of those things where...
It's a bucket list.
Do we break our streak of going to every ASU game by saying because they're not very good? If they lose this weekend...
When they lose this weekend.
And, boy, should I not even watch? And then when they go to Utah in a couple weeks...
That's not going to be any fun at all. Okay. Utah, good team, really good home team.
All right, so when we go to those games and they've got the game in Pullman, are we better off saving the time? Is there an expectation from the audience that if we don't do five things with us standing somewhere on a field that shows Pullman, Washington, that we're going to be thrown under the bus and crushed? And
you know,
get thrown under the bus and crushed for something.
I don't want to call you out, but I'm going to call you out.
Sure.
We actually missed one road game since we started this company.
When?
Halloween night in Pullman 2 years ago.
You're right.
So we have
one. We just missed Pullman.
Coincidence? Pullman plus Halloween equals no travel.
I'm a dad. I don't want to send you. But you've got like your best man from your wedding is in Spokane.
He is. I have a place to stay.
So there's
come up and see his family, visit his kids.
Even if ASU stinks out loud.
That's a you call, not a me call. You're the boss of this company. So I just you tell me what to do and I do it. I'm a foot soldier, as they say.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to go hit a referee from behind. Come on. No, but if you were to go through the Pac-12 right now, are ASU or U of A better than Utah? And the answer is no. Are they better than UCLA? The answer is no. Are they better than Stanford? I think the answer is no. Are they better than USC?
Remember a month ago?
Remember a week ago?
A month ago. Remember a month ago when we were like, "Wow, ASU could win at least 10 games. At least
could
win at least 10 games."
And then Bo Graham got fired, and all of a sudden everything is.
Now you start looking at the schedule. They should beat Colorado. They should beat Washington. Okay, there's four wins.
Okay, but are they even that much better than Washington or Colorado? Washington's starting a true freshman quarterback.
Yes, they are better. Are they that much better?
Are they that much better?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But they're better.
Are they better than Colorado?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they better than Washington State? Yes.
Up there, though, who knows?
But up there, yeah, you don't know. Are they better than Oregon State? You know, Oregon State comes down here to play U of A next week. Oregon State has a new head coach. They're trying to figure things out.
They're okay. They're not a great team.
Right. But ASU's not a great team. See, yesterday we had these guests on. We used them on the TV show, Stuart Mandel. And we're talking about U of A and ASU. And Stuart said U of A was the bigger disappointment over the weekend. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't. Because the game day hype and all that stuff.
Over the weekend, but nationally, he said, there's been no bigger disappointment than ASU with the exception of Auburn.
Auburn. And he's right. He's right. Anybody who wants to deny that, you're fooling yourselves. All right, Peter King joins us next. SI.com senior NFL writer, the MMQB. All things around the 3-0 Arizona Cardinals from one of the best in the business, the nationally known Peter King. That's next. And then Calais Campbell. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King joins us now, the MMQB, mmqb.si.com for our weekly conversation. Bruce Arians says, quote, "We haven't done bleep, and I think that is the message I want on T-shirts and bumper stickers out here in Arizona." Peter, at 3-0, he's taking the right approach. He said it to his team, "We haven't done bleep." He reiterated, "We haven't done bleep," and went into more explanation about bleep following the win on Sunday. What do you make out of Bruce Arians and what's going on out here?
They have done bleep, and they've done quite a lot of bleep. And Bruce Arians, however, is not full of bleep. Because what he has to do and the message he has to send to his team is a very simple message, and that is that being 3-0, winning September, is little more than Daniel Snyder winning March and April. Remember a few years ago when Washington would have these great free agent classes And then you get to the midpoint of the season and say, hey, wait a second, why are we 2-6? So he's right in that way. But what you've seen so far, and look, I think everybody knew. I mean, nobody said, hey, we're going to score 95 points in two games. And nobody thought that. But I think every single person who watches football thought at the beginning of this season that if Carson Palmer stays healthy and plays 16 games, Arizona's got a very good chance to win double digits and make the playoffs. That still stands. What to me has been very, very interesting coming out of the first 3 weeks of this season is that the Cardinals are giving up 16 points a game on defense. Mm. And look, you say whatever you want about how, oh, well, you know, James Betcher is not changing, tangibly what they're going to do on defense. The system's going to be the same. The language is the same. All that stuff. But, you know, let's be honest. Todd Bowles was a very, very good football coach, and he had the undying respect of all of his guys on defense. And I think most people thought that this team's going to be in a little bit of trouble on defense. And, you know, what I find really interesting, Brad, and I was looking at this the other day when I was just looking at some things right now that I like about the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, hey, ball hawking secondary, 7 interceptions in 3 games. But, you know, this is a stat that I think says a lot about this team. They've allowed 12 points in the second half of 3 games so far, 12 total points. And you know what that says to me is that Bruce Arians really has the pulse of this team and really has, you know, really understands what makes this team go and has guys on this team who believe him. When you go in at halftime and you're ahead significantly, in most cases, you're ahead, you basically say to your team, hey, listen, we need to play 60 minutes. We got to go out there. It's very Bill Belichickian. That forget what happened in the first half, we have to win the second half. And so far, they've won. I mean, I looked this up the other day. I think they won the second half 53-12. So, you know, that to me says that, you know, this team is not really believing everybody on the outside that tells them how wonderful they are. They mm-hmm. say, look, the most important play is the next one.
You know, Steve Keim has been balling on a budget out here since he took over. Chris Johnson is yet another example of that. I would put Tyrann Mathieu in there just simply, Peter, because it was a roll of the dice, all the criticism that was leveled towards the Cardinals when they took him. But Chris Johnson and what you've seen out of him just is another step in what Steve Keim continues to do out here. You could even put Carson in that conversation, given what they had to give up to get Carson, which was nothing now from the Raiders when you look at it.
Right. I mean, look, I think, you know, the Raiders had determined at that time that they were probably going to go in a different direction. I mean, obviously, at quarterback, his champion, Hugh Jackson, was gone and all that. So, I mean, you know, you sort of look at Carson Palmer as one of those things. Sometimes in the NFL, you get a gift. You might look at the Patriots this week and say, or I'm sorry, the Panthers this week and say, hey, they got a gift. They got Jared Allen for the rest of this season, who's going to be motivated because he really wants to continue playing football. He's going to be motivated in his scheme. It's a scheme in Carolina that got both Hardy and Charles Johnson big, big sack years. And so, you know, Jared Allen's going to go in there and it only cost him a 6. Sometimes you just get lucky. Sometimes your team, and as a general manager, you're in the right place at the right time, and they were in the right place at the right time, getting Carson Palmer for next to nothing from Oakland.
Peter King with us, mmqb.si.com, the MMQB. Always good to have Peter with us every week. On a neutral field right now, would you take Seattle or Arizona?
I'd take Arizona because I trust their offense a lot more. And I think both of them can play good defense. I think right now with Cam Chancellor back, I like Seattle's defense better. But not, you know, it's not like Seattle is 1 and Arizona is 13.
Sure.
I mean, it's Seattle's maybe 2, or one, and Arizona's maybe six or seven. You know, I mean, but it's Arizona's got a competitive top quartile defense right now, and they've played the first 3 weeks anyway. They got the most explosive offense in football, so I would take Arizona.
If you were looking at the margin between the Packers, New England, and the Cardinals, I know you have your fine 15 that you put up on MMQB, but how much of a difference is there between those three teams?
I mean, last night at the end of the Monday night game, I sat there and I just thought, I turned off. I'm so old now. I'm 58, and I can't write with a lot of electronics. So with any electronics, really, I like to just, you know, sit here and just think about things and write. And I spent about 10 minutes just thinking about these three teams. And I really felt, I honestly felt at that time that I would take any one of the three. I'd put them in any order. I put Arizona three just because I trust Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers right now a little bit more than Carson Palmer, even though Carson Palmer has had an absolutely peerless first three games. And I think, too, that New England and Green Bay have a better pass rush than I thought they would at the beginning of the year. So, but I think they're all extremely close.
Well, and here's the thing, and I'm kind of the guy raining on parade out here in this regard. When the Cardinals get to the end of their season and their schedule ramps up considerably, when they have the Packers and the Seahawks rolling down their throats at the end of the year, a couple times with Seattle, we're going to know a lot more. And sometimes it is about how the schedule lays out. They're not going to face Roethlisberger now when they have the Steelers. The Rams have a very good defense, probably the best defensive front, in my opinion, in the NFL, the Rams, or not number one, at least one of them. But they're still trying to find themselves offensively. The Lions seem to be up and down. It seems to me that they're getting some breaks, which you have to have. And when they have adversity, Peter, because every team has adversity at some point during a season, I think they'll be able to handle it in the room. But I'm not too high on this because I see the back end of the schedule is brutal.
Well, as I look at their schedule, okay, I can look at it in two ways, Brad. I understand what you say, it's brutal, but what happens if the Eagles, you know, by the time they face them, are 5-8 and they're out of it? Which, the way they've played and the way Sam Bradford looks, that's possible. Now, sure, I'm not saying it's probable, but, you know, the Eagles, that's the most unpredictable division right now in football, the NFCs. I have no idea what's going to happen.
They're probably the most unpredictable team. The Eagles are probably the most unpredictable
team. They are the most unpredictable team.
Sure.
But then what happens if the Packers have a three-game lead in the NFC North when they play them in Game 15? And the Packers say, okay, well, geez, you know, we need this for home field, but, you know, we've already clinched. We're already, you know, we're already probably getting a bye, whatever. So I'm not sure that Green Bay is going to enter with the most supreme motivation. And then Seattle to end it. What I kind of hope for selfishly, Brad, and I mean, this would be so much fun. How great would it be if Seattle and Arizona were both 12-3 coming into January 3rd, where, you know, that would be one of the biggest, that probably would be, probably, the biggest regular season football game, NFL game, in the history of the Arizona Cardinals. Can you think of one that would be bigger?
Mm.
If they're playing for the division against the two-time Super Bowl team, Seattle Seahawks, the last game of the season, and maybe playing for home field throughout the playoffs. I mean, what a huge game that would be.
Well, and fans here in Arizona have Seattle as kind of their yin and yang. It's like Dodgers, Giants, Red Sox, Yankees out here. For whatever reason, Seattle has taken that place. No, I get it. That's a great point. Before I let you go, what do you make out of the Rams and this team coming in this Sunday?
You know, I think the Rams are going to have to play a low-scoring game. I just don't think they're capable of you know, of winning a game, you know, in the high 20s or 30s. I just think it would be really hard for them to do that. Now, the first game of the season, they won a game in the 30s against Seattle, but that was a strange Seattle team. Plus, it was in St. Louis, where they're a bit of a different team. But the last 2 weeks have been more the same old Cardinals, where they're looking for a running game. They don't have a running game, even though they got Gurley. And they're still looking for that sort of go-to receiver that Nick Foles just has not been able to find. You would think that after all this time and after all of the energy and draft resources they've spent on highly drafted players, it's amazing for me to think that their only wide receiver in double digits is a reclamation project from the Tennessee Titans, Kenny Britt. Mm. I mean, you know, it's crazy. But that's the way this team has been so far. And I think that they need to play a ball control possession game to have any chance to win this game on Sunday.
Appreciate your time and insight as always, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Let's talk further about the Cardinals now with Calais Campbell, the Pro Bowl defensive lineman of the Arizona Cardinals, joins us for a couple of minutes. All right, so is it true that you have Larry Fitzgerald on your fantasy football team? Clear this up for me once and for all. Is this true?
100% true. It was a great pickup. I saw it in training camp. I saw it in the practice before the games. Man, he's the go-to guy, so I figured I'd put him on a fantasy team. No insider trading information, but I'll take you from a fantasy team. You know, it's just for bragging rights, so nothing special.
Okay, so when he's tearing up the Bears and the 49ers, you're just cheering over on the sidelines for other reasons, right?
I mean, mostly because the Cardinals are winning. I'm happy my team's winning, we're winning and score points, but in a little bit I turn to Frosty and I'd be like, hey, man, I got him on my fantasy team. Extra points.
That's good stuff. Calais Campbell, 16 points per game the defense has allowed. 12 points total in the second half, I think, is probably the bigger number that jumps out. What is it about your defense with James Betcher coming out of the locker room into the second half so far this season?
You know, I really believe that, we make good adjustments. You know, you kind of adjust your play calling based off of what they're doing. And, and he has guys in order to finish, you know, our secondary, you have to have for them. They're playing as good as, you know, any secondary I've ever seen. You know, they take their turns, just, you know, intercepting the ball and making big breakups. You know, receivers are never open, so, you know, allows us to be a little more aggressive up front. And it's just working out well for us.
Who has not gotten enough attention on the defense, in your opinion? Who's not gotten the pub that you're saying, Brad, this guy is really tearing it up and should be getting more attention?
You know, we have so many different guys on our team, man, that I could get more attention. That really doesn't. You know, and that's okay, though. You know, I mean, we're winning games, and that's number one. You know, you win games, and you don't really need all the attention from outside. You know, that'll come. You know, if you win the Super Bowl, all the attention and all that good stuff comes. You know, but the biggest thing is, you know, just staying focused on our craft. You know, sometimes with the outside world when they come in, you know, it's easy to get distracted and you kind of forget what got you here. You know, I mean, it's early in the season; we haven't really accomplished anything yet. So, you know, I like to stay under the radar, keep the guys focused. You know, and we don't really need a lot of attention. Just continue to play football the way we know how to, and win games.
Calais Campbell with us. When Bruce Arians says we haven't done bleep to you guys after games or in meetings, he really means it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very true. I mean, three games will get you nowhere, you know. I mean, you can win three games, you know, I mean, that's a pat on the back, I guess. You know, it's cool, but you ain't did nothing in the grand scheme of things, you know. There's a whole lot of football that you played. I was on a team that won four games, started out 4-0, and finished 5-11. You know, I think we're a little too talented for that this year. You know, but I know it's possible as soon as you start losing focus and, you know, you don't pay attention to details, you don't work the craft that got you there, you know. I mean, the biggest thing with us is staying focused and understand how important each game is. We know that, if you want to go to the playoffs, these games now in September and October matter most, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to the playoffs if you don't win well in September and October.
Calais, how would this team handle adversity right now? Do you have a feel about the way that this team is constructed? I think, obviously, you're one of the veteran leaders, Carson, Larry, and others. Is this team equipped to handle adversity? Is that just something you have to go through until you know it? Because you haven't had any, really, yet here in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those questions you sometimes think about because we haven't really experienced any adversity. We realize, you know, every point of every game that we played this year. But I do know that a lot of guys on the team, the core guys, have been in adverse situations over the years. And even though the teams are different, you know, we have experience with it, and we've handled it well in the past. So I'm not worried about, you know, how we'll handle adversity when it comes. It's going to come this season. You know, I'm going to make sure that I continue to preach to my teammates that we just stay disciplined in our technique and know what we're doing. And we have the athletes and the talent where we'll make enough plays and we'll be okay, you know, just as long as we stay disciplined in our technique and we know exactly what to do. If everybody's on the same page and we use our technique, man, we're a hard team to beat.
How are you playing?
I didn't hear you say that again.
How are you playing right now? How has your season gone 3 games in?
You know, personally, I feel like I've been doing my job, you know, consistently. You know, I would like to be a little more of a playmaker. I've had a few plays in the last couple games, but, you know, I've been so close to, you know, really having a breakout game. But, you know, for me, you know, it's all about, you know, winning, and we've been winning really good. So, you know, I feel good. You know, I've been helping, you know, fighting double teams and, you know, and trying to, you know, get penetration and knock running backs back like I'm coming back if they want to. And I've been doing a good job with that. My teammates have been flying around, making big plays, you know. So, you know, I feel good. Yeah, I feel like I continue to just do my craft, work my technique, and we'll be fine.
What do you see out of St. Louis this Sunday?
St. Louis is going to come in here, you know, trying to prove something. You know, it's a division game. They always play well against the division opponent. Mm-hmm. You saw that when they beat Seattle. You know, and it's consistent every year. They might lose to everybody else, but in the division, they always play everybody tough. So we know they're going to come in and give us, you know, their best effort. And they have a lot of talent, you know. Their defense is stacked, you know, it's probably stacked as any. You know, they have a lot of different playmakers, you know, their D-line is solid. You know, you see their offense has some of the more talented running backs in the game. You know, the receivers are explosive. I mean, we have to go out there. We have to focus and play our technique and really tell you the truth, man. It's going to be a hard-fought win. You know, we're going to have to, you know, go out there and fight for it. They're not going to just let us win because we're 3-0. We have to go out there and earn it.
Before I let you go, the Calais Campbell's Champions for Children, I've got something sitting here in front of me. You're giving out a Rolex. I mean, the CRC Foundation, I remember when you and I first started doing this a little bit years ago, you've blown this thing up into a major corporation here, Calais.
Yeah, you know, it's getting better. You know, I mean, each year it gets a little easier. And you learn a little bit more how to go about it. You know, and a lot more people want to get involved in health, you know, so that really makes it, you know, makes it special. You know, I mean, there's a lot of kids out there that I want to reach and help, but I know I can't do it by myself. I need, you know, a team around me. So, you know, the CRC Foundation has been doing a great job. You know, all the people involved and all the partners that we've, you know, collected over the years. And we got Coffin and Trout Jewelry, the fine jewelry store that donated the Rolex to our charity that we got auctioned off. You can go online to the CRC Foundation.org and you can buy a raffle ticket for a chance to win. It's like a $9,000 Rolex. I mean, it's actually in my possession right now. I've been able to wear it.
Really?
And it looks good. It's a really nice watch. You know, somebody's going to be very happy, you know, whoever wins the raffle.
Worn by Calais. There you go. Calais Campbell's CRC Champions for Children. You can go to crcfoundation.org to get your raffle tickets. As always, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
So starting to look ahead to the weekend, and it's fun talking with Calais and Peter King, and good stuff there. TV show tomorrow night and Thursday night as well, 6, 10, and 1 a.m. on Fox Sports Arizona. Week number 3 on that front. I think we're having Dave McGinnis later this week. Coach Mack is maybe jumping on. It's time to get Cartman on the show about ASU because he's been grumpy. Have you reached out to Chris Cartman?
He's confirmed for Thursday's TV show.
So he's coming on the
TV and the stream show. So he's going to be on both shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of surly after the game on Saturday.
Well,
the high expectations of Todd Graham have fallen by the wayside.
Look, I'm not calling for the coach.
No, of course not.
I'm not doing that. But anybody who's sitting here satisfied or is going to try to, you know, go down that path is just wasting my time.
Am I going to have another day trip to El Paso right around New Year's? Is that going to happen again?
Doesn't it feel like it?
It kind of does.
Could be Vegas, the way they're playing.
Yeah, that's okay. I'd rather go to Vegas than El Paso.
You've got the Horned Frogs in Texas, though, on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to that.
I do.
Are you going?
I am. It's going to be fun because...
Friday night, or are you going
the nice
the
people?
The
the nice people at ABC decided to put the TCU-Texas game at 11 a.m., and so what I usually do is I'll work a high school game on Friday. I'll take a red-eye flight out, and really the 11 o'clock start time is the only time where I'm guaranteed not any sleep at all. If it's a 2:30 start or a night game, I can usually go to my friend's house and take like a 2 or 3 hour nap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not complaining, but it's going to be – I'm going to be pretty tired by Saturday night. So.
Yeah, but
– I'm not complaining. Again, not complaining, just –
I want to see Texas Christian win like 50 to nothing. I love what's going on in Texas.
I love seeing
empty seats everywhere.
But the game's at TCU. It's not in Texas.
I know it's at TCU, but those fans that follow Texas are just a bunch of bandwagon jumpers that have never experienced something like
that. It is sort of sad, though, because they don't even show the full stadium shots anymore when the game is at DK Royal Stadium, because the upper decks aren't empty, but they're half full. And that never used to happen in Austin, ever.
No.
Never.
You know, I would put ASU above Texas, though, in terms of disappointment. Nobody expected Texas to do anything this year. Auburn would have to be number one, Arizona State number two in terms of biggest national disappointments in college football.
I will say this, Brad, just off the topic real quick. The vibe around ASU in terms of the new stadium and the redesigned stadium is really, it's really good. It's really nice.
No, you're right.
It's loud and it's more intimate, and it's just a better fit at 65,000 capacity than it was at 82,000.
Well, they're not there yet. It's still a dump.
No, but it just looks better.
It looks better.
You don't see empty seats for big games like Notre Dame. Like Saturday, it was loud and it was full.
Sure.
And a night game. It was a good environment.
Derrick Rose is on my mind today, some basketball stuff. Derrick Rose has played in like 100 games since he signed his contract with the Chicago Bulls. And this is the week where the NBA is getting started. I'm sure you guys have noticed there's more NBA coverage that's popping up because media days and all that stuff. Yesterday, Markieff Morris rolled into the Suns. And the Suns are up in Flagstaff doing their thing. I saw Greg Popovich being interviewed this morning. It's fine. Kobe Bryant says he's made no decision on retirement. If he doesn't play well early, or if the Lakers are getting their tails kicked, why not get Kobe to the Knicks? Why not with Phil Jackson? No matter what they said about each other in the past, to me, that's very interesting. Derrick Rose, though, is become an enigma. Now, I like watching Derrick Rose when he plays. The problem is he doesn't play enough. And then I kind of turned on Derrick Rose yesterday, like, he really said this? Derrick Rose has 2 years remaining on his current deal with the Chicago Bulls. But given the kind of money NBA players are raking in these days, the former MVP cannot help but wonder what kind of value he'll command in 2017 when he's on the open market. So he went into the, I can't wait to see what's out there for me mode. Why would you do that when you never play? And on top of that, you're the hometown kid. And the last time I checked, he's in the middle of an investigation for sexual assault. So it's like three strikes, but to go out there and start talking about free agency, I mean, come on. Are you kidding yourself? And of course teams are going to line up, but like Kevin Durant has handled it the right way. I see these stories. Kevin Durant may be interested in fill-in-the-blank city. Of course he is. He's going to be a free agent. Kevin Durant might be interested in playing in Milwaukee, but no free agent of substance goes to Milwaukee. They may get traded there. Kevin Durant, the Suns could go pursue Kevin Durant all day long. I don't see any way, shape, or form Kevin Durant comes here. They need that changing free agent. You know, Kevin Durant to Washington is the easy narrative because he's from back there. But when you talk, this is the quote from Derrick Rose. But when you talk about that much money, the only thing you can do is prepare for it. Trying to prepare not only myself, but my family. I'm doing all this for my son. I'm thinking about his future. I don't know. He signed a 5-year max at $95 million before the 2012 season. I'm thinking about my son. Come on. And he doesn't play because he's had health problems. He's 26 years of age. Guy, I swear these guys sometimes, to go out there 2 years before free agency and lob that grenade, that's a dumpster fire waiting to happen in Chicago, one of the big NBA markets and one of the better teams in the league, with a guy who seems to get hurt when people breathe on him. I mean, I'd rather have Derrick Rose here than dealing with this Markieff Morris nonsense, but, you know, Markieff says he wants to be here. Do I believe that? No, I don't believe that. Is that an agent just saying, look, don't talk to writers from Philadelphia in August who you think are your friends, and you tell them, I don't want any part of Phoenix, and then roll in on media day and stand up there and say, I want to be here. You know how many times they probably had to practice that with Markieff? I wonder if, like, in the agent's office, they put him in his jersey for media day and said, no, you're going to walk down the stairs at the practice court, and you're going to go to the podium, and you're going to put your hands on the podium very softly, like you're in control of the situation. And then you're going to look around and make eye contact, because people like eye contact. And then you're going to say, I really want to be here. And that'll diffuse the whole situation. And if the Suns stink, we'll get you out of here.
I'm sure the Suns are happy yesterday is over.
Oh.
Because they knew the storm was coming, and they survived the storm, and now it's on to training camp, the preseason, the season.
You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving with Markieff Morris. They can't get him out of here fast enough. If they get off to a quick start, and I hear about Keith this and Keith that, if they struggle, you mean to tell me he's going to show up and play hard every game? He's never done that since he's been here. And I don't buy the, well, you can't trade him because there's not enough value coming back, or he's a really good player. People that tell me, well, he's a really good player, I don't know. Watch him over 82 games. Go back and look at the box score for 82 games. If that's the leader of the franchise, franchise is going to continue to be stuck in the ditch. I mean, this really isn't that hard. This is not brain surgery. It's sports. There, feel much better now.
Dramatic pause.
No, I mean,
for effect.
Really, do you think? I don't script any of this stuff.
No, it was good though. You went on your rant, and then like you were just Mr. News Anchor.
I'm just
dramatic.
I'm just
pause.
Done.
Wait for it. Transition.
I can't believe that we still have to have. It was great when they got Marcus out of here, and now we have to sit here and have Markieff. And you know, they've tried having the brothers here with Zoran and Goran and Markieff and Marcus, and it's not working. It's a link to the past. And the last time I checked, the past hasn't been good.
If only LaMarcus Aldridge. If only. That would have cleared up all these problems. And again, I know the Suns didn't get him, and I know it probably was somewhat of a long shot.
Sure.
Even though he said all the right things and played nice and played footsie.
Whoever
and
decided to put
and
the banner out front should have just stopped. Don't do it. It's 2
somebody
hours later.
Somebody wasted a lot of money.
It's like
a lot of ink.
You and I sit
money.
Here and we're like, we've been here 20 plus years, and you see things, and you're just like, now I am going Saturday. You're not going to be here. I am going to the Madhouse on McDowell.
That's cool.
I'm going to go.
That's very cool. Already, and a great idea by the Suns.
Yeah, no, I've cleared out things, and I had some other commitments I was going to do, and I looked around and said, this is something we need to be at.
Hopefully the ceiling doesn't collapse, right? Because you're going to look up, and all the panels are going to be gone, and those horrid orange seats are still going to be there.
Like, I wonder if there's gum there.
I'm
still
sure.
Under those seats.
Oh, God, it's going to smell like beer.
and the urinals have, like, people carving stuff in from, like, the 70s.
The Coliseum's great.
It's going to be fun. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.